Hi, Johannes. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Deepti?
I'm good, great, and thank you so much for being on this podcast today. And so before I introduce you, it's a very different podcast as compared to what I do on this podcast channel of mine, which is about creating awareness about Eastern medicine, where I talk about yoga, Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, Qigong, and all of these, ancient Eastern modalities. So when I met you for the first time, what really clicked me, and I really wanted you to invite on this podcast for the same reason, was that you're very deeply into music, and I, kind of heard to your music as well. It's very, very soulful. I mean, I'm just liking the way, it creates a specific kind of a vibe. And then during our conversation, you also told us that you are a yogi. You have been into Kundalini yoga and had various experiences with yoga. So I was really keen on, getting to understand how being at the peak of your career as a musician and also learning yoga, how the two came together and how each one of it complements each other in your professional and personal life. So before we begin, I would want to introduce you to our audience, and then probably I'll have a set of questions for you from where we can get started. Yeah. So Johannes Lindstedt is also known as Sevaji. He is an award-winning musician whose recordings of Latin guitar, world, and devotional music have charted in the top 10 on Billboard in the US and have been streamed over 500 million times around the world. He has also won 7 Best Album Awards, is a Yamaha influential artist, named Guitarist of the Year in the Canadian Smooth Jazz Awards, and Best World Artist in the Thoma Awards. He's also the winner of People's Choice Awards in the UK. His music has been used countless times in many popular television series. Johannes is equally spiritual and leads a yogic way of life. He is a certified Kundalini yoga instructor, Reiki master, martial artist, Qigong practitioner, and a certified sensory healer. At the age of 24, after years of intense meditation, Johannes experienced a Kundalini awakening, a profound moment in his life that made his life purpose clear, which was to use his gifts, both musical and spiritual, to uplift and heal as many people as possible. So I think, Johannes, so much to talk about you, but my first question is going to be, help us understand who you are and how yoga, spirituality, and music came together for you.
Well, looking back on my life, I realized that even though I didn't have an understanding of spirituality, I still had spiritual experiences when I was a young child. I was first interested in art. From a very young age, I began drawing, and that was my passion. But by the time I was 8 years old, I was given a guitar, and slowly guitar started to become more of my focus instead of drawing and sketching and making pictures. And by the time I was, I would say around 12 years old, I knew that I wanted to be a musician. And I think that's something that's very important in one's life. If one has a clear goal in mind, it's so much easier to achieve. You can achieve
Exactly.
success if you have a very clear understanding of what you want to do, what is your passion. And it seems a lot of people these days don't have that clarity. So I feel very blessed that I did find music, or music found me. And by the time I was in my teens, again, looking back, I realized how music was a spiritual path for me because it involved a lot of the same spiritual principles of concentration, meditation, getting involved with the music, not just being separate from the music, but the music becoming part of you and you becoming part of the music. And I reached that probably when I was around 15 or 16. There was a clear shift that happened in my consciousness, and it wasn't through actually what we would call spirituality. It was through music. Music as a form of spirituality.
So
And
that's very interesting, because two things that I really liked about that you mentioned, that you know your path and then you start walking that path. And I guess for you, it happened really early in life. And so it this is an aspect of spirituality for sure. And then, you know, music happened to you, which is again somewhere which again connects you to spirituality. And then yoga also happened to you. So it was, I think, three powerful forces behind you, which, you know, took you in a specific direction. And that's kind of worked for you, right?
Very much so.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so you'll be seven.
By the time I was in my late teens, that's when I discovered spirituality. It actually happened through interest in paranormal things like out-of-body experiences, the possibility of other life forms visiting this earth from different galaxies. So I started to read a lot, and that got me interested in Buddhism. Buddhism got me interested in martial arts. I eventually got interested in Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, or also known as Osho, when I picked up a book. It just, I was at this bookstore and this book just started to look at me. And it was like in the discount bin. I think maybe the store was closing down. And I saw this person whose face just looked in ecstasy. And I thought, okay, I'll pick that book up. It was called The Book of Wisdom, Volume 2 by Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. And it was like literally every sentence that I read was an epiphany, was an awakening for me. And it really opened up my consciousness. And from there, I just got myself involved with many different paths.
So I guess what you mentioned, that, you know, getting hooked, getting a hang of that specific book that you got into, it happened really early in your life. I mean, was there some maybe somebody in the family, or you had some kind of a background where you got to get some kind of an exposure, or it was all coming in from within?
No, my family was primarily very much Pentecostal Christian. I was raised that way. As a kid, I would go to the Pentecostal Christian camp. It was a German Christian camp, so it was very strict, as you can imagine. So, I mean, that I guess is spirituality, but not in the way we know it in terms of the East. It's not a very Eastern approach. So my approach, getting interested in Buddhism, yoga, martial arts, was very foreign, was very different from that upbringing. So I was kind of I like to say, the white sheep of the family.
Yeah, and that's completely different. I guess you're coming from a different, completely different background and getting into all these Eastern sciences. So how actually yoga and Qigong happened to you then?
I beg your pardon?
How did yoga and Qigong happen to you? I mean, since, you know, your family did not have that kind of a background, or you did not have any exposure.
Yes. So when I was, I guess, around 19, 20, I became interested in Buddhism. And Buddhism led me into actually studying Kung Fu, because the Kung Fu in China was founded by Chinese Buddhist monks. So that's kind of how it led into it. There's also a TV show that I had started watching. It might sound kind of weird, but it was a TV show called Kung Fu.
Okay.
And it was about a Chinese, half Chinese, half Western monk who comes to America. And he had studied in the Shaolin temples. And that just really fascinated me. And I really liked the way he portrayed his life in this series, just being very humble, very silent, and but yet very, very powerful. There was a powerful energy that was there when he needed it. And so then I started studying Kung Fu with my teacher, Dr. Jopit Lareya, and his teacher. So my grandmaster was actually a Shaolin monk. I think he was born in the late 1800s. And during some revolution in China, a lot of the monks were being persecuted. So some of them fled to the Philippines. And that's where my teacher studied. And then he eventually came to Canada, and I studied with him for many, many years.
Oh, that's nice. So I'll you know, keep switching between yoga, spirituality, and music, you know, as and when the connect happens. So my next question is around your music. So Your music is really very different. It's very peppy. It's very lively. It has that tropical kind of a feel. Yet it sounds very spiritual. Like it definitely takes you in a different. You can actually feel that music. So, do you think your yoga or spiritual or qigong background somewhere has to do with the kind of notes that you create with your music? Or, I mean, you know, how do you look at it?
Yeah, definitely. So I actually got into yoga because Kung Fu, my music career started to take off. And the Kung Fu training that I was engaged in was very, very brutal. Like I would have bloodied knuckles and scabs and bruises all over my face, footprints on my body, my hair would be pulled. After our classes, I looked very horrible. And so I couldn't perform like that. So I
So can I
still
just stop
want
you there?
to.
I have another question. Just here, I have another question. All these practices, I'm not very sure that this is something that's coming in from what you just mentioned. Like Kung Fu is more of, is it a spiritual kind of a practice or is it completely physical kind of a practice?
It should be a spiritual practice, but unfortunately, it has become more or less, in the West at least, a physical practice. But there should be a very spiritual discipline behind it. And that's how I approached it. With a very spiritual discipline.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, but I had to kind of give it up because there was so much blood and like I said, it was a little bit too harsh for me when I started to perform and my music career started to take off. I couldn't go out like that. So eventually I found Kundalini Yoga. There was a new yoga center that had opened up not far from my house. And I was looking for something, and I remember the first class was just so miraculous for me. It just opened me up so much in my heart, spiritually, consciously, and I knew that this was a very pure, very powerful path. So I continued on with that, and so yes, I would definitely say that those influences are integrated into my music because I think when one has a whatever degree of connection to the divine, it's expressed in everything, the way they talk, what they eat, the music they compose, the art that they might create, the poetry that they write. So in every aspect of one's life, the deeper your connection to the divine, the more that's going to be expressed in everything that one does.
That's very beautiful, and I think you've just put it right in one sentence. And I think a similar question we have from one of the listeners who would want to know that. Do you feel that your music changes the consciousness of those that are listening to you?
I'd like to think it does, because when I compose my music, it does come from a very pure place. And I would say it doesn't really come from me. Most of the time when I'm composing music, I feel like I'm a channel, that it's all being given to me, sort of like it's just being downloaded. Because I honestly don't spend much time actually fine-tuning the music. The music just seems to come complete. I'll start with just a few notes and then it just unfolds by itself, it seems. So I feel that it is being given to me from a very divine, pure source. And I think when one listens to that it's all vibration, it's all energy, that one is naturally going to absorb that as well.
Yeah, so I think a related question even I have, like considering your music immediately, peps up somebody who's listening to it, and I've personally experienced that. So since you're also associated with yoga and spirituality, do you draw any association or inspiration from the energy systems in the body, which yoga classifies as the chakra systems in the body? So why I'm asking this question is because in traditional Chinese medicine or even in Ayurveda, so because everything is holistic, there are specific sounds associated with different chakras in the body. There are different emotions associated. There are different colors associated with different, energy systems in the body. And music or sound is also one of the attribute that's associated with these energy, channels or chakras in the body. So, by any chance, do you also draw inspiration from these energy centers or play your music for the energy centers to bring up the energy immediately?
You know, I don't particularly do that on purpose, but I think that's sort of an unfoldment of one's own energy systems. So mm-hmm. if you're very heart-centered, let's say that's mm-hmm. your dominant chakra, then I think your music is going to be imbibed with that as well. But it's not something that I purposely try to do. Like I won't go into meditation and say, okay, I want to mm-hmm. focus on the throat chakra or the crown chakra. Mm-hmm. It's just the sum of my own experiences from meditating, from being spiritual, living the way I do. And mm-hmm. my music is an outpouring of that.
That definitely shows in your music. So, in my next question, I would really want to understand, like, you know, when we talk of yoga and spirituality, India is the land to be. So, and I guess you've been to India. So what has been your experience being in India and experiencing yoga and spirituality specifically from the land where it comes from?
Well, yes, visiting India was one of the most difficult experiences in my life. Because mm-hmm. there was such a dichotomy there. There was deep beauty, but there was also so much suffering that I saw. Being in New Delhi, I saw lepers, which is something you don't see in the West. Mm-hmm. So I was unaccustomed to that. Just seeing things that we don't understand in our upbringing in North America.
Yeah.
So that experience, I guess, really awoke me to the suffering that exists. I had seen poverty before, but I hadn't seen that sort of poverty that I had seen in India. And then in other places, I saw so much beauty. I visited some ashrams. I visited temples. I also went to Goa. I visited the Osho ashram in Pune. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, there's a real dichotomy in India. You see the most beautiful, the most spiritual, the most powerful, and such rich history. I mean, I can't think of many countries that have the rich history that India has.
That's true. Yeah.
So it was definitely a very profound experience. And I was there for about a month. And when I returned, the whole month I was fine. Mm-hmm. I didn't get sick. You know, a lot of people maybe eat some wrong food. I had no problem. In fact, mm-hmm. as soon as I got off the plane, I didn't have jet lag. Everything was going great. But when I got home, everything just kind of hit me. Everything I saw. And I went to my parents' house and I just basically collapsed on the couch. And I stayed there, I think, for over a week, maybe 2 weeks, just processing everything and regrouping and rethinking my life. So it's an experience that I think everybody should undertake. I didn't go with a tour guide or anything, so I ended up going into mm-hmm. some rough areas. You know, being on my own, I was, I don't want to say lost, but I was just not under any sort of itinerary. I could go wherever I want, do whatever I wanted to do, see whatever I wanted to see. And it's an experience like that. I mean, if you have a guide, they're going to take you to specific places.
Yes.
Yeah. That might be a safer way to do it, but I'm glad for the experience that I had.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's so much to explore back in India. But my question specifically is coming from the place of understanding, like, you experienced yoga in the North America, and then when you traveled back to India, you had some certain experiences about yoga and spirituality. So, what kind of a difference in yoga and spiritual side of things you experienced, as compared to what you experienced in North America? I mean, did you find any change, or was it the same thing that you had experienced in the North America? It was the same yoga and spiritual experience back in India?
Well, I think you can find perhaps what we would call authentic yoga here as well. But the majority mm-hmm. of yoga that we're being taught in North America is what I call Las Vegas style yoga. It's more like show yoga, you know?
yeah, I do understand that. That's why I'm bringing up that question, because I also come from a yoga background, and, you know, all my studies in yoga has been from India. And what I see here in North America now is more, I'm not saying superficial, but it's more inclined towards the physical side, but yoga is so much deep more, you know, about your mind and your breath and how it aligns you as a whole. So great. So okay, Johannes, my next question is around breath, since we are talking about yoga. So like yoga has a deep connection on breath, and we know that that, you know, if you start to align breath with your yoga practice, it brings your mind and body both in harmony, and breathing sound follows a certain rhythm, and that rhythm actually creates that balance, you know, at the body and mind level. So specifically, like in Ashtanga Vinyasa practice, there's this specific ocean breath which is used to kind of create that synchronization with the flow that you're doing. And if we try to correlate it with music, I believe there is some kind of breath awareness and breath synchronization happening in music as well. And since music is also about, you know, rhythms and synchronization, I believe that when you practice, that breath element has to be synchronized well to create the right kind of music. So while playing your music, you know, it actually reflects in your musical notes. So, you know, what is your take on that? So this question is coming from the space to understand that we consider breath as the most important element in yoga. Like if we look at the traditional yoga, and in music, breath has an equal focus. And which creates, and when, you know, I believe when such notes which are breath aligned come up, they have a spiritual angle to it. But since you are a performer and you actually have experienced music and, you know, breath awareness together, what's your take on that?
Right. I guess the way I look at it is the time you spend, say, meditating or doing yoga on the mat, where you're actually focusing on the breath, that kind of is your preparation for life outside of the yoga center or wherever you're doing your practice. So you spend that time, and that is the time that prepares your body to endure the stress of life, and also to prepare your body and your consciousness to, in the way that it's going to identify with reality. So the deeper you go into your breath, the deeper the connection with the breath and your consciousness, the more you can live consciously when you're outside in the real world.
That's true.
Yeah. So I feel like those practices do prepare me for music. And I guess maybe I'm at the stage where I don't necessarily focus on the breathing when I'm practicing or when I'm performing. It becomes natural. I think that's the whole point, is that everything that you're doing in a sort of meticulous, methodical way in your spiritual practice has to be integrated.
It aligns you as a whole.
Becomes a natural phenomenon. You don't have to concentrate on it anymore. I'm not saying everybody is there, but eventually, through lots of years of practice, then your body just gets into that natural alignment, and it's nothing that has to be a conscious act anymore. So musically, I feel that there is an alignment with breath. And as you probably know, there are many different breathing patterns, not even just yoga breathing patterns, but just in life. When you're excited, you breathe a certain way. When you're calm, you breathe a certain way. When you're with your beloved, you breathe a certain way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Breath has an integration with all the human emotions on different levels. And again, with music also reflects so many different levels of what a human is. Music can be that loving thing. Music can be aggressive. Music can be so many different things. It can be calming. It can be exciting. And that, just the listener, but also the performer, goes into that breathing pattern, I think, somewhat naturally. So there's definitely a correlation between breath and music, and either being the listener or the performer.
Mm-hmm. Great, nice. Okay, so again, you know, coming back to your music, and I mean, for some of the I would not say the album, but you know, I've just tried to go onto your YouTube channel and just trying to listen to some of the music that you've created, and what I found was there's a lot of tropical feel to a lot of notes that you create. So when we think of tropical, it's more about beachy side, it's more about seas and, you know, coconut grooves and that kind of feel. And so how do you actually see yoga and spirituality coming together in that tropical vibe that you create?
Good question. Well, I guess yoga being India being subtropical and tropical, I would assume that the yogis were in that sort of environment of, you know, in the jungles, mm-hmm. and just surrounded by a lot of nature, a lot of ocean. But in my own life, I've just always loved the tropics. I mean, being raised in Canada where it's cold, so mm-hmm. cold in the winters.
Yeah.
And then if you go on vacation and say in January and you're all of a sudden transported to somewhere where the sunshine, blue skies, and you're taken away from the gray and all the snow, it's just yeah. something that stuck with me. And mm-hmm. personally, I just like to wear as few clothes as possible. I'm not saying I'm into mm-hmm. being naked or anything.
Yeah,
like
I understand.
I just like wearing loose, you know, sort of like yogi style clothes, yeah. like a little wrap around and
losers and yeah.
Yeah. So I'm happier like that, just living very mm-hmm. simply, being able to pick fruits off the trees and just
live. So that makes you live who you are.
Probably. Yes.
Great. So do you drive any inspiration from beaches or that tropical kind of a vibe in your music?
Oh, definitely. It's basically all inspired by that. I do have some classical influences in my music because I love classical music. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think having that influence from a childhood of traveling to, you know, Colombia, Mexico, Cuba, Dominican Republic, many different islands in the Caribbean. I just fell in love with that whole vibration of sun energy, the energy of the ocean, mm-hmm. breathing in fresh air, being outside a lot. And of course, the music from those countries reflects that as well. It's just, you know, it's uplifting, makes you want to dance, makes you just want to celebrate.
Move, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. those rhythms, I think, are just inherently in my blood now.
Perfect. I must say you're a blessed one. So, okay. So, Johannes, like, since you're also into yoga, now I'll get back to yoga. And I believe you conduct retreats in Dominican Republic. So when you're conducting these yoga retreats, and specifically on the spiritual side, you know, what kind of music gets gelled with the, you know, the yoga practices or yoga retreats that you do? Like, is it the tropical music that you try to integrate with you know, those yoga retreats, or is it the classical music, or a specific focus on those music and tones which really you know, kind of again work with your energy center? So what kind of music do you like playing in your retreats?
Generally for the retreats, I do more like kirtan music. So music that has the, mm-hmm. the devotional texts. A mm-hmm. lot of them I use from the Sri Guru Granth Sahib, which is the Sikh book. But we also yeah. do some of the more Hindu chanting as well. That makes up most of the music that I do. Now,
okay.
after the sessions, we might be sitting around the pool. I might play some on my guitar. I might play some classical pieces that I've composed. And we also actually do a little bit of Bhangra dancing. So.
Oh, nice. That's good to know.
Not that I'm a great Bhangra dancer, but you know, it's a lot of fun. And it just
integrates Saturday culture. You've had exposure being a Kundalini yoga instructor, I guess that automatically you get exposed to that kind of a culture.
Yes, right? Definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great. And are there any specific tools that you you know, kind of play in your yoga retreats for you know, bhakti yoga? I guess that devotional side is about bhakti yoga, or probably, you know, just creating a lighter environment of after all those practices. So are there any specific tools that you play, like, you know, those drums and those musical, what do you call that, a musical bowl or something like that, I believe.
So when I'm in this, for example, if I'm doing my retreat in the Dominican Republic, I don't have all my tools available. I basically have my guitar mm-hmm. and like a djembe drum. So I'll use whatever I have. Sometimes I'll use just recordings of drones, you know, mm-hmm. like the drone sounds. I always find that helps to, when it's just one single tone, it helps the mind to just kind of calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, for the kirtan music, it's usually songs that I've written, and I'll be playing chords, and I'll have the lyrics for everybody, and they learn it. It's usually very simple music. And of course, even the sound of the ocean is so very healing as well.
Yeah.
These are the primal sounds of the earth that heal us, or the sound of nature, animals, yeah. Whatever. All that kind of brings you back into your natural self, because in our society, we've gone so far away from our natural selves.
That's true. Yeah.
Surrounded by concrete and, you know, and everything is just kind of manufactured. So it's so important, whether one's into yoga or not, that they do get back to nature, that they spend some time in nature, get some fresh air, get the beauty of the sun shining upon them. And just even seeing the colors of the trees, everything just helps to bring one back into their natural self.
That's true. So, okay, Johannes, I believe you, talking about foods, I think you are a vegetarian. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, I'm vegetarian. Yeah.
Yeah. So, being in this part of the world where eating vegetarian is something that you'll not find many people, being completely vegetarian. But since yeah. I believe you are into spirituality somewhere, it does have an influence in your food as well. So, what role do you think a vegetarian diet has played in your yoga and music practice?
I think it's made a big impact. I stopped eating meat probably a good 20 years ago. I was, raised in a normal family where meat was a big thing. And then through my various awakenings, and of course, discovering yoga was a big part of it, I came to the realization that I just can't be part of that industry of eating slaughtered animals. I don't like to put it that way, but that's really what it is.
That's how it is, actually. Yeah.
So I think once I dropped meat, that allowed me to go deeper into my sense of compassion. And that is, I think, very much important for music, for at least for the music that I do, to have that sense of compassion. And again, that gets translated into the songs that I compose. Without that, everything is a vibration. So even meat is a vibration. So when you're eating that meat, you're eating death. You're eating something very heavy. I'm not saying it's not healthy necessarily for you. That's sort of beyond the point, because you can get nutrition, of course, from eating meat. But it's the consciousness behind it. If you're cutting out meat out of compassion, then that awakens something in your higher self, that awakens that that empathy, that love, that understanding that you don't want other beings, not just human, but all sentient beings. You don't want any sentient being to suffer, especially not for your own desires. So the deeper we go into that sense of compassion, that sense of empathy and understanding, I think it does awaken the consciousness. It awakens perhaps subtle aspects that we're not even aware of. And that gets translated again into everything that we do, the way we interact with people, the way we interact with animals, the way we compose music and so on. It definitely does make a big impact.
So, and just to add on here, what you just mentioned about diet, it's so good to know that, you've actually experienced when you go back onto a vegetarian diet, it's not only the body that changes, your mind also changes. And that has been my personal journey as well. I started my wellness journey being a macrobiotic nutritionist, and then gradually, got into yoga, and then started raw food nutrition, now studying Ayurveda. So, while learning all these ancient modalities, I realized that why is it that all these ancient modalities talk about plant-based diet? There has to be something. And then when I, digged in deeper and specifically on the yogic diet perspective, I realized that beyond nutrition, beyond calories, beyond looking at the quantitative side of foods, there's something qualitative aspect to the foods, which is the vibration, which modern science probably does not recognize yet, or probably that there is some awareness happening. But when you transcend beyond understanding this much protein, this much carbs, and this much that, and this and that, and you really get on to eating plant-based diet foods that are coming from nature, which are high on vibration in its most natural and fresh form, you actually go through that spiritual shift in your mind. And this is, again, very good to know that you've actually also experienced this. And this is what even I'm, kind of worked on and experienced with my clients and with myself over the years. So that's nice. Okay. Okay, Johannes, my next question is, how do you make balance between your yoga practice and your music creation? Because both of them demand their own time. So, you know, how do you create that balance?
Well, the reality is, in the way my life is right now, because I am taking care of my parents who are elderly. My mother, unfortunately, has Alzheimer's. A lot of my time and energy is dedicated to taking care of them, which even that is a form of yoga, seva yoga. And that's actually the name that was given to me, was Seva Singh, where I derived Seva.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I guess my yoga teacher had seen that in me, that I live a life of devotional service. Currently, it's mostly directed to my parents. So I try to find time for music. That's very hard. I don't get that much free time, to be quite honest. And I usually do my meditation when I wake up in the morning and just before going to bed. So those are my two times for yoga, meditation. And then whenever I get time during the day, even if it's 5 minutes, I try to pick up my guitar. And I inevitably start to compose something. I don't know why, but it seems like every time I pick up an instrument, whether it be guitar, piano, native flute, sitar, I just have this desire or this need to compose something. So I've just got so much music and I just don't have enough time to record it all. And
well, I mean,
it's actually kind of,
that's again exceptional. Yeah.
So much music, and I know I'll never be able to get it out to everybody.
But that goes, you know, it comes to you whenever you're ready. So, you know, that's something that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Great. So, okay, Johannes, also tell us about your, you have a organization by the name Divine Earth, which is in Dominican Republic. So, and which is majorly focused on bringing awareness about meditation, yoga, and joined with yoga, exactly the same topic that we picked up today for this conversation. So what is this organization all about, and what it does, and how people can get associated with it, if at all, you know,
sure,
there is some option for that.
So Divine Earth is basically as what you would think the name means. It's bringing divinity to Earth. I believe Earth can be a divine place if we can identify the things that get in the way of our own divinity. And that can be music, because there is a lot of music that is not uplifting, that is not healing, that is not coming from a divine space. So if we look at all the aspects in our lives, things that we do, things that we eat, like the music that we listen to, again, like we were just talking about, the food, even the company that we keep, the movies that we watch, the things that we dedicate our time to are going to reflect who we are internally, consciously.
True.
So Divine Earth is meant to be, to bring people, if they come on the retreat, to give them a taste of what it's like to eat a vegetarian diet, spend time in nature, spend time with the breath, move the body a little bit. All these aspects of bringing people back to their divine self, because I do believe there is divinity in everybody. And it's just the society that we live in that seems to add their its own pollutants, you could almost say, to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were all raised in ashrams, we could all be angelic beings, right? That is our capacity.
Yeah.
We have exactly. All these dimensions to us. We can be devils. We can be angels. It's really up to us. Sometimes the influences of society are very overwhelming and people get really sucked into it, whether it be through drugs, alcohol, or whatever kind of addiction. So it's getting back to that pure self where we're free of addictions. We can think more clearly and have that desire to be aligned with God or the divine source, whatever we like to call it. But it takes dedication, because now, doesn't matter how old you are, 30, 40, 50, 60, one has accumulated so many different things, so many different influences, so many opinions have been foisted upon us. So we have to slowly clear that all off. And through chanting, through meditation, through breathing, we start to shed those layers of the onion, you could say. And slowly, slowly, we become who we were meant to be. And I believe that is divine beings.
Exactly. So coming back to the kind of retreats that you do in Dominican Republic. So what are the kind of yoga practices that, you know, that are part of your yoga retreats? Is it the Kundalini yoga, focus on mind or focus on the body, or, you know, what kind of practices do you like doing?
Yeah, it's definitely Kundalini based because that's what I'm trained in. And I found that to be very, very effective for me. And again, it's good because one doesn't have to be super flexible to do the Kundalini yoga. We do focus a lot on the breathing. We do focus on movements. A lot of times we might focus on certain chakras or focus on the aura. We might focus our eyes to different locations. And I find it to be a very, very quick and effective method to bring one back to an alignment. So that is definitely what I focus on. I also do teach a little bit of Qigong, maybe occasionally, depending on what the group is. I'll also teach some very basic self-defense moves from my Kung Fu days. But mostly it's the experiences through eating a vegetarian diet, getting up at 4 a.m. in the Amrit hours to meditate, doing the Kundalini yoga kriyas, dancing, you know, things that are celebratory in bringing a celebration to life, but in a holistic way, because you can do celebrations with various different, you know, drugs, whatever, but that's not real celebration. Real celebration is when you're authentic, when you're pure, when you're true, when you're living to your highest destiny. And that's an ecstatic state without drugs.
Definitely, yes. So, you know, coming back to your music, what is one message that you would want to, you know, give to the people through your music? Or, you know, what does your music communicate to the world today?
So the way I look at my music is, through my Spanish guitar music, is that it's very celebratory, but again, it has a very high frequency. So what I hope is that music will bring people closer to that purity, and from there they can go to higher levels. I'm not saying that my Spanish guitar music is the highest level, but I see it as a sort of intermediary. So people might discover me through my music and they think, oh, he lives a very interesting lifestyle, and that can influence people. When they see that I live a holistic life, a yogic lifestyle, vegetarian, I don't drink, don't do drugs, that can influence people. So my music I see as a way to bring people in and hopefully draw them to higher states.
No, that definitely is there for sure, because as I said, like, you know, I have been really hooked to your music, and most of the times of the day it's playing at my home. There's some kind of a vibe and energy to the music for sure. Okay, and so Johannes, where can our listeners find you and your music? I mean, you know, like, are there any specific albums that you would want to recommend, or you know, is it on YouTube or these podcast channels, or, you know, just to help us understand?
Yeah, my music is on pretty much every streaming platform: YouTube, Spotify, Apple, all those. People can also come see me perform live. I know this video might be seen later, but if anybody's around on March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2023, I'll be performing in Toronto, in Midland, Ontario, and Welland, Ontario. And they can visit my website for more details. And the easiest way is just to go to guitar-guru.com. And there they can read my bio. They can find all the streaming sources and, of course, my upcoming performances as well. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Mm-hmm. Perfect, Ivan. I'll check that out. My daughter is crazy about concerts, and, you know, it's a promise that I had to take her to one concert really soon. So I'll try if I can be there for sure.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, and one last question, Johannes, before I end my conversation. You know, what from your albums, what is that specific kind of a music or album that you would recommend to the people who are actually yogis or who are practicing yoga on a regular basis, or who can use that specific music to kind of get into the flow of yoga? Is there any specific album that we can refer to?
Well, I also do I have one album of yoga music that I released that's under Sevaji, and that's called Everlasting Joy. I have a lot of songs that I hope to release this year. So those are a little bit higher, might not be for everybody. But as far as the Spanish guitar works go, any one of my albums, I would say would be representative of who I am, of that sort of energy as well. Just that, again, that celebration of life, that joy, and just trying to bring happiness to dark times.
No, definitely. Even I would want to pass on that message to all our listeners that please do check out Johannes' music. It's amazing. And there's specific kind of a vibe. I mean, very difficult for me to explain also, but it's something that you really feel when you immediately, you know, switch on your music. So thank you so much, Johannes. And anything that you would want to add on that, you know, you would have wished that I had asked, which I missed out, you know, on the ending note, if you would want to just say something.
No, I think we covered everything. You know, these are all important topics. Not everybody is attuned to spirituality, you know, but I think the more people are exposed to it, the better. And that's, we're all part of this process of uplifting each other and bringing more peace, more love, more joy to this earth.
That's true. Great. Thank you so much, Johannes, for being there. And I really enjoyed your this conversation. And of course, you know, I'm really enjoying your music as well. So thank you so much for being there.
Thank you. Blessings.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.